It's 6 minutes after 10. You're tuned to WMUK 102.1 FM, online at WMUK.org. From Western Michigan University, I'm Kara Lawrence. The Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck is 6 weeks of concerts every Thursday and Friday night at the Women's Club of Saugatuck on the corner of Butler and Hoffman. The 29th annual festival begins this week. My guest is horn player Paul Austin, who as a longtime featured player in the festival says there's a lot to look forward to every summer.
It's like coming home to our family in the summer. This is my 16th season to perform there at the festival, and we're like a family. It's really, really nice. It's just a very special time. The audience is also really special, too. We started a couple of years ago. Now it's going to be the last week of the festival, pre-concert dinner discussions before the concert, and that's a chance for me to have dinner with audience members and talk about the music they're going to hear and something about the musicians. So over the years, that's actually helped me get to know more of the audience members. So it's become not just a family for the musicians in the festival, but also for the audience members, too. It's nice to look out when we're taking our bows and you see the familiar faces that you get to know about them and their history in music. It's really fascinating.
How does a typical week go? I know that it's not just one rehearsal, that there are hours and days spent in looking at the pieces on the program and taking them apart and putting them back together again.
Exactly right. Sure, we rehearse Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The concerts are Thursday and Friday evenings at 7:30. And Monday tends to be a getting to know you. Tuesday tends to be let's take it apart. And Wednesday tends to be let's put it back together.
And then Thursday, of course, is the first
perfection.
Concert.
Exactly right. Exactly right. To the point where you're thinking, we've done this perfectly. Do we want to come back? And we're thinking that Friday audience wants us. They love us. We've got to go back. So we go back on Friday and do it again, and it's very exciting. Saugatuck's an exciting place to be in the summertime, especially. And you know, we don't give concerts on Saturdays or Sundays. That's usually the resort time. But Thursdays and Fridays, it's just really charming to be there, walking around the village. You get a bite before, get some ice cream, do some shopping, see some water.
This first program is called Child's Play. What can you tell me about that?
The first half has three really, really interesting pieces that deal sort of with child's play. The first piece is Fritz Kreisler's Preludium and Allegro. This is for violin and piano, and it'll be performed by our co-artistic directors, Jenny Walbord and Drew Lee. And it's great to hear from the co-artistic directors right away, first concert, first piece. It's pretty exciting. And they have two children. And actually, Jenny has worked on this piece with some of her high school students, and I think one of them maybe even won a competition recently in Holland on this. So it's a piece that, you know, certainly is a piece that can be, you know, enjoyed as a young artist, but then, of course, really taken to a full level by a professional players.
You know, Paul, why I would think that child's play might apply to this piece is not that it's easy to play for children. It's not. It's a competition kind of piece. But Kreisler passed it off. He played games with his audience by saying that this was something he discovered by a Baroque composer named Pugnani, and it was many years later that he admitted that he wrote it himself.
Well, let me go to my next question for you, since I'm interviewing you today, Cora. So tell me about the next piece on the program.
I know nothing about the next piece on the program.
I do. But the next piece is called 12 Duets for Horn and Bassoon by Alec Wilder. And, you know, Wendy and I, our time together as chamber musicians, go back over 20 years, starting together at Western Michigan back in the 19-somethings. I'm not sure what. Don't research that, please, Cora. But these pieces were written by Alec Wilder, who's sort of a bad boy composer. He attended Eastman School, but he didn't really graduate. He sort of led a student revolution against the schools. The dean at that time in Eastman, who was Howard Hanson, and as you can imagine, with some of these revolts, the administration won. So he probably was kicked out of school, but he's a really fascinating figure. I actually read a biography of Alec Wilder called Alec Wilder in Spite of Himself. Mm-hmm. He's the kind of guy I think I'd like to get to know, kind of like performer's best friend, composer. So these pieces were written for some of his musician friends, and they were intended to be played for children's educational concerts, but they're really charming, really have a high intellectual appeal, tough to play. And in fact, this may be the first time Wendy and I have played these in their entirety in public on a concert. We've recorded them, and of course, recording something and performing it is slightly different. So we really, truly look forward to sharing that with our audience.
You play together as the Rose Austin Duo, or RAD. It's the name of the group.
We're RAD. Yeah. We're RAD. Let's face it. We've been RAD for a long time. And it's. I think we started RAD in 2001 at the International Horn Conference. We played there, and since then we played at the International Double Reed Festival. And it's always a joy to work with Wendy. Wendy's that soulmate that you always look for in life, and in musical life especially. We don't have to really verbally communicate. We can just pick up on our instincts. We're like two folks with antenna looking at each other, getting the vibrations.
Well, the program moves on with Claude Debussy's Children's Coroner.
Do we have to talk about that? Because everyone knows this is a great piano piece. All of this cakewalk. You know, Drew's going to be a master. And actually, Debussy, this is interesting, though, is that Debussy is Drew's, Andrew Lee's favorite composer.
That makes a lot of sense. I know he's recorded music of Debussy as a solo album, and and he's a terrific pianist. I love listening to him play.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, da-da-da-da, here is the Horn Trio by Johannes Brahms.
Oh, he stole my beating heart. What a piece. This is our piece. You know, a lot of the instrumentalists on the Summer Festival have a huge number of masterworks to pick from for their instruments, but the Brahms Trio really is a horn player's dream and delight to play. It's in four movements, and it was originally intended for the natural horn. It calls for horn, violin, piano. It could also be performed for the horn on the cello. And it's interesting that Brahms, as a child, learned to play all four of those instruments.
Did he really? I didn't know he could play a horn or a brass instrument.
One of my favorite photos, I'll have to send this to you after we finish our interview, is a picture of Brahms and a group of about 30 or 40 natural horn players, the Vienna Waldhorn Society, and I have that on my screensaver, my computer. There's Brahms in the middle of them. He loved the horn. He loved the natural horn especially. He thought it was a very charming instrument, had a lot of personality, and so even though he knew his pieces would be played on the valve horn, he had the concept of that natural horn, the really sort of intimate chamber type of sound. In fact, the very opening of the piece, when I first played this piece, it wasn't a natural horn, so I sort of look at it from that perspective quite a bit. There's a very opening melody, and the valve horn, all the notes would be very even, very sounding very similarly, la, 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 like that. But on the natural horn, you've got to go, da, 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 da. So some of the notes that you cover with your hand, and they sound almost like when you're humming instead of singing, and it's just really charming. It helps you know how to shape the phrase. It's really gorgeous. And actually, he was inspired by walking in the forest, I think, in the summertime when this was written, and he'd see like the light shining through the trees, and so some of that light darkness that you see on a nature walk sort of comes into play on the horn part.
Now, I know you love the natural horn, but it sounds like you will be playing with a modern setup.
Oh, you got it. Oh, yeah. Most definitely. This is a piece that I really appreciate on the natural horn, and the people who can play it really flawlessly, but I do need vowels. Vowels is just one letter away from values, Cara.
I believe that every summer festival everywhere in the entire world should have at least one performance of the horn trio by Brahms during the festival.
You know, I've always liked you. I couldn't agree more. And of course, the third movement, the second movement is a scherzo. I played that. I was fortunate enough to play that at the Fontana Festival on the final concert in Shelbyville, the one that had many moments that were a nod to the founder of that festival, Neil Saunders. And
yes.
So I did that movement on that very special final chapter of that festival. The third movement is a tribute to Brahms' mother, who had passed away in February of that year. This is 1865 we're talking about. And there was a melody she would sing to him as a child, and that is the melody that you actually hear in that movement. And the name of that nursery rhyme is "There in the Willows Stands a House." And that melody in the third movement becomes, and I did a little singing for you last time we talked about this, so I'm not singing for you again. Unless you really want me to.
Well, how else are we going to recognize the theme, Paul?
Me. Let's see, I think it's a... B minus. But I will say that melody in the final movement becomes like a hunting horn fanfare theme.
I hear it, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, you heard it again. I'm love singing for you today in spite of my allergy attacks. This is good.
Thanks for singing through the congestion.
So this is a piece that actually Jenny, Drew, and I did perform a few years ago, right when their first child, Matthew, was born. So another child's play moment. So now they have two children. And something else that's pretty cool about the week that we are opening week of the Festival for Child's Play is that we have a really terrific free Young Listeners concert on Friday morning, July 8th at 11, featuring Bill Vitt's percussionist. And this is a concert that's at the Saugatuck Douglas Library, a 30-minute program, free for kids to come and hear Bill in his performance that he calls Percussion Discussion with lots of different instruments. It's a demonstration event that Bill does throughout West Michigan. It's really not to be missed. So that was a good week to include a children's concert on the week that we do child's play for the festival.
Well, that's terrific. Good to hear. And full details are at the website, saugatuckmusic.org. Finally, I just want to follow up with two things. One is that you mentioned Neil Saunders. Do you have a personal memory of meeting or playing with Neil Saunders?
You know, I just missed Neil. I moved to Kalamazoo in 1993, but I will say, and I did say this is the first time I played at Fontana a few years ago, was that I even though I've never met him, he had a huge influence upon me. I started off playing drums. I wanted to be in a rock and roll band when I was a kid, and like most kids, you hear the Beatles and your life changes. And I heard the French horn on the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band and thought, well, you know, the Beatles, they have horn players, and that could be my thing. And of course, finding out later that Neil was on that recording, you know, just sort of made that come together a little more. I do think one of my fondest memories of playing at a chamber music festival was getting to play the Poulenc Trio. You know, the Poulenc Elegy for horn and piano that was written in memory of Dennis Brain, who was our main figure in the horn world. Dennis Brain passed away on September 1st of 1957, and that piece was written soon thereafter and premiered with Poulenc playing piano, but with Neil Saunders playing the horn. So when I had a chance to play that at Fontana with my dear friend Phyllis Rappaport on the piano, that was something I'll never forget.
Well, thanks for that memory. And finally, do you still perform with the Grand Rapids Symphony?
I do. 40 weeks a year, yes. And the symphony is doing incredibly well. We are so pleased to announce our new music director, Marcelo Leninger, and we'll see him this coming year. Symphony just finished a terrific $40 million endowment campaign to secure the future of the orchestra. We just finished negotiations for a 5-year contract, so we're very, very pleased about that. It looks like, you know, good news all around. So it's a great time to be here in Grand Rapids and in West Michigan. This is good. This is a win for our audience and our community.
I wanted to know a little more about the new conductor.
And you're asking the right person. I was on the search committee, so I was very pleased to have that announcement made early June, I think it was announced. Our committee met for about 3.5 years because we had heard around the time that our music director, David Lockington, would be leaving. He gave us a couple of seasons notice. And so the committee immediately swung into action and started looking for some guest conductors, and we started compiling names. I think we researched over 100 conductors, and that's pretty easy to do these days thanks to the internet and YouTube. And we narrowed it down to a smaller field, and then we had Mr. Leninger, who led a terrific performance with us of the Dvorak New World Symphony, and also the Pines of Rome. And those, again, when you think of Child's Play for a moment in the Saugatuck Festival, those are pieces that I played in youth symphony as growing up and knew about them right away. But when you play them, you know, as a professional, when you play them with the conductor who inspires you, it really was an experience that we'll never forget. So Mr. Leninger was a conductor who I realized at the end of the dress rehearsal I had goosebumps. And that usually happens for me in concerts, but not dress rehearsals. So my body was sort of leading me to that decision. He's really outstanding. I can't wait to work with him more.
And his background, what symphonies has he worked with?
He had been for 2 or 3 years the assistant conductor with the Boston Symphony, and then they had him stay for an extra year as an associate conductor, which was great. The Boston Symphony musicians have sent me a few notes of congratulations on having him. They think the world of him, as do the musicians of the New West Symphony. And this is an orchestra that's based in Los Angeles area. And I think he was music director there for about 3 or 4 years. And so we're getting him fresh from L.A., fresh from Boston. I think he's going to enjoy having less snow, if you can believe it, than Boston, and less traffic headaches than L.A.
Very true. Well, thanks for filling us in. Paul, it's always great to talk to you, and have a terrific opening night with the Chamber Music Festival of Saugatuck.
Thank you so much.